From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message called Facing Death Without Fear, part of this series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 23, Joshua is giving his final exhortation to the children of Israel. He has urged them to remain faithful to the Lord. In verse 14, he gives a very solemn declaration, "Behold, I am this day going the way of all the earth." Here the great leader of Israel faces the inescapable truth of his own death. Looking back over a life of faithful service to God, Joshua rests in the promises of the Lord, in whom he has trusted since his youth. Here we have a solemn confession that death is the portion of every man, and that there are no exceptions. And yet, as we'll see today, Joshua possessed a striking confidence, for he had lived his whole life for God, and so could face death with no concern and no regrets. He was as good a witness for God in dying as he was in living. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 5. He hath said, "If we can only grasp these words by faith, we have an all-conquering weapon in our hand. What doubt will not be slain by this two-edged sword? What fear is there which shall not fall, smitten with a deadly wound, before this arrow from the bow of God's covenant? Will not the distresses of life and the pangs of death, will not the corruptions within and the snares without, will not the trials from above and the temptations from beneath, all seem but light afflictions, when we can hide ourselves beneath the bulwark of He hath said?" Yes, whether for delight in our quietude, or for strength in our conflict, He hath said must be our daily resort. And this may teach us the extreme value of searching the Scriptures. There may be a promise in the Word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort. You are like the prisoners in the dungeon, and there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door, and you might be free. But if you will not look for it, you may remain a prisoner still, though liberty is so near at hand. There may be a potent medicine in the great pharmacopoeia of Scripture, and you may yet continue sick unless you will examine and search the Scriptures to discover what He hath said. Should you not, besides reading the Bible, store your memories richly with the great promises of God? You can recollect the sayings of great men. You can treasure up the verses of renowned poets. Ought you not to be profound in your knowledge of the words of God, so that you may be able to quote them readily when you would solve a difficulty or overthrow a doubt? Since He hath said is the source of all wisdom and the fountain of all comfort, let it dwell in you richly as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So shall you grow healthy, strong, and happy in the divine life.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Joshua was not an old man desperately trying to hang on to life and power. Now remember, at this time, somewhat like Moses, he appears still to have been in the full vigor of life, even though he was a very old man. Yet God had maintained him in such health and strength that he was still able to conduct the affairs of a great nation. He was still able to direct the various tribes. He was a man still in vigor. And yet, as he makes this statement, there is not the slightest hint either of fear or of regret. What a confidence he had. I tell you, when you go to the men of this world, men who have aspired without God or without Christ to do a great work, say in a nation, you'll discover that when death comes, they do not have this confidence. We have been studying the French Reformation. As I said at the beginning, somebody thought it should be the French Revolution I was talking about. When you mention the French Revolution, there was a very famous political thinker and political orator, a leader in the early revolutionary movements in France, Honoré Mirabeau. Mirabeau, as he came to die, said, "I have in me 100 years of life, but not one moment's courage." And he asked for opium to dope him as he would go out into the great blackness beyond. Think of it. A man who could move the thousands, a man who could topple kings, a man who had the vision to set up a great revolution and to set the course not only of that nation but of others. And yet now, as he comes to die, feeling he wanted to live for 100 years, he says, "I don't have one moment's courage to face death." No courage, no confidence. How different for Joshua. How different for the man of God when he comes to say goodbye. A man who was the president of Baylor University in the early part of this century. As he lay dying, he wrote a message to the senior class. And in it he said, "I stand on the border of mortal life, but I face eternal life." That's a great confidence to have. You're standing on the borderland of eternity. You contrast with that a man who in many people's estimation stands as the greatest of men, certainly one of the greatest. And I refer to India's famous Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi said, "Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being, and I find a solace," referring to the Hindu scriptures, he said, "I find there a solace that I miss even in the Sermon on the Mount." Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being. That was 15 years before he died. Just before he died, he wrote, "My days are numbered. I'm not likely to live very long." He thought a year at the most, actually. "For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. I am praying for light." You see the difference? Joshua, neither fear nor regret. It's very interesting that Joshua had no need to change either his life or his labors when he knew he was dying. When Joshua recognized, I am going the way of all the earth, there needed to be no change. He continued in the very end of his life as he had in the former part. There wasn't some frantic effort to turn things around, to undo all that had been done, to try at the last to make some impression on a holy God. Joshua died as he lived. And of course, most people do. And well said that all living is a preparation for dying. Joshua lived his life as he wished to be living it when he faced death. Very wise. How many people are the opposite? Perhaps this morning this comes home to you. Most people, I fear, are like the false prophet Balaam. Balaam lived for money. He sold his soul for money. He would willingly serve the devil for money. He would curse what God had blessed for money. He would do anything because he served the God of filthy lucre. Balaam knew what money could do in the world. He knew the ease that it could bring him. Balaam had his sights set on such things, and that's how he lived his life. But what did he say then? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Let me live the life of the ungodly, but let me die the death of the saint. Let me live my life going down the broad road to hell, but let me enter in through the gates of glory. Let me live my life for the devil. Let me reap the harvest for God. That's what he was praying. Many, many people in that position, when they know that death is approaching, suddenly feel, well, let's turn life around. Let's stop doing all these things. Let's start out trying to establish some account with God. It's usually, I say usually because in the mercy of God, he sees to the very end. And the God who could save the dying thief can save anybody. But never forget there was another dying thief. I get scared when people say, just remember the dying thief. They always forget the other. And not to becloud the issue, I take it there were two malefactors or thieves or robbers. But there is a very ancient belief in the church that takes two on each side, two robbers and two malefactors. And in fact, in northern France, dating away from very early days, when they raised some crosses on a hillside to give out the message of Calvary as they thought it, they had a center cross and they had two on each side. If they are right, then there were three impenitent, damned, dying thieves, and only one who was saved. While there's mercy to the end, never forget the overwhelming majority of people proved the truth of Thomas Fuller's observation. Fuller was an old English preacher full of very pithy sayings, and he says, he who has lived ill knows not how to die well. He who has lived ill knows not how to die well. Joshua had no need to change his life or labors at the end. And for the encouragement of God's people, Joshua, in dying, was as good a witness for the Lord as Joshua in living. Sometimes people feel, well, death is working in me. I feel illness. I feel incapacitated. Therefore, I cannot be of any use for God. That is far from true. In fact, in many, many cases, you find that people are of more use for the Lord in their dying than they ever were in their living. I have told you before of the scene in the early 1970s. My eldest sister thought she was dying, and so did we. The mercy of God, He healed her. But we thought she was dying, and so did she. So did her doctors. I left her one Wednesday night, and I never expected to see her again, alive in this world. As she lay there in the point of death, she realized as a Christian she had not served God as she ought to have served Him. And she cried, Lord, before I die, give me a chance again to serve You. From what she took to be a bed of death and what was certainly a bed of extreme agony, she gave out a witness. Five people came to know Christ around that bed. The very hospital porter came in from his day off so that he could do the work of moving her about and kneeled at her bedside and came to Christ. Roman Catholic daughter of a lawyer from another town was in the same hospital, and that room became the birthplace of her soul, and she also sought the Savior. You see, a Christian in dying can serve God as powerfully as ever he did in living, and sometimes more so. Why is that? Very simply, because the saints have something that the world may deny in life, but when they face death, they can't deny it anymore.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.